Good evening, and welcome to our online Wednesday night Bible study in Soldotna, Alaska. Tonight we are continuing in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and we're on question 5. And I'll read the question first and then the verses of scripture. Question 5 is, refresh your understanding of the schism between the Samaritans and the Jews. And reading in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And the question was for us to refresh our understanding of the division between the Jews and the Samaritans. And this division, it brought actual hatred of one another. And we're going to look into that tonight. It was a division of both politics and religion. Politics and religion. And examples of this type of hatred in our lifetime, you could probably liken it to the hatred between Serbs and Muslims in modern Bosnia. Or even in America, the division between Democrats and Republicans or any political parties. That's what you can get an idea of the feeling that was between the Jews and the Samaritans in the time of Jesus. And I'm really sad to have to say that kind of division exists today in our political parties. You just have to watch the news, CNN or Fox, and you'll see that division very clearly. So why this hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans? To begin with, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 21 through 24. To understand this division, we need to go all the way back to when Samaria was established. And the Samaritans were native Israelites. So when we say Samaritan, their heritage is from Israel. They're part of the Jewish heritage. So reading 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 21 through 24. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill Samaria. So here we see where Samaria and the word Samaria came from. The king bought this area, this land, and then he built the city of Samaria, and it became his capital. Now, we're not going to go into this reign of Omri. He was the sixth king of Israel and part of the kings that did evil, as someday we'll go back and study, in the sight of God. But we're not going to go into that tonight. So this was after the separation of Judah and Israel, and it was around the 9th century. So keep this in mind. This capital, Samaria, that he built, it was strong defensively and it controlled the valley through which the main road ran between Jerusalem and Galilee. So it's a very important route that he controlled. Now, given you some of the history on this, back it happened around 722, the city Samaria fell to the Assyrians, and it became the headquarters of the Assyrian province of Samaria, they called it, but it was actually just Samaria. And Assyria conquered Israel and took most of its people into captivity. Okay, follow me, stay with me and follow this, because it's a whole big history lesson that's in the Word of God. So the Assyrian invaders, they then brought back what the Bible calls foreigners, or what we call Gentiles, to resettle in this land. And that always happens with war and conquerors. They bring in their own people to resettle the land. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 17 and verses 24 through 41. To look at why God told his people to separate themselves from the Gentile nations. And I know this looks like a lot of scriptures, and it is, but we need to read them all to understand and really get the full story of the Samaritans and the Jews. So reading in 2 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 24, and we're going to read all the way through to 41. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kutath and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Interesting. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. So they had a lot of superstitions too, these Gentiles. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from there, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now, keep this in your mind. Taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, verse 29, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. They all made their own gods. And the men of Babylon, I'm going to skip across all these cities and the names of these people because you can read them for yourself. Drop down to verse 32. So these people, now they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places. So they just took these priests out of whoever in their midst and made them, you know, in charge of the high places, which was a temple or an altar, in which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. So it said they feared the Lord and served their own gods, but then it says they did not fear the Lord because they did not obey the statutes, the commandments. And going on in verse 35, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. And we know that that was a commandment of God. It was very clear. Everyone understood that commandment. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall you do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore. And you shall not fear other gods, little g, gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. God repeats himself. He wants to make sure everyone knows and understands exactly what his will is, what his commandments are. So you'll see this throughout the Word of God, repetition of what God says. Verse 39, but the Lord your God you shall fear, again, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord because of the lion that came and was destroying them, and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Okay, I know that was a lot of scriptures, but if you followed along, you saw this whole picture of this group of Gentiles that were brought into Samaria, merged in there to take over this country. And then because of, they felt like, oh, this is happening to us because we don't know the God of this land that we have come in and possessed. So now they want to learn what are the manners or what's the rituals of this God, so that they think that then they're going to be on a clear path, no problems. It didn't happen that way, but we're not going to go into all of that. So this king of Assyria, he had priests brought to teach the Gentiles how to worship God. After this attack by the lions, they attribute it to the failure to worship the God of the land. But instead of worshiping the God of the land, they merged it. They merged the worship with their own worship of idols. So it says they feared the Lord and they served their own gods. They mixed it together. Worship of God with worship of idols. And doesn't that sound familiar for today and all the religions that have been created for this? It also sounds like the doctrine of Balaam. Compromise. Bring in compromise so we can do what we want. That's what compromise is. It allows you to do whatever you want, whenever you want, and merge your ideas and your thoughts with God. And you think it works that way, but it really doesn't. And you know by the Word of God, it never will work with the merging of the natural and the spiritual. So they feared God, but they continued to worship their own idols. This also goes along with the New Testament scripture that I brought out on Sunday in James, the second chapter, verse 19. We're not going to turn to that. But it said that the devils believe and tremble. So we know that the devils believe and tremble, but they don't obey the Word of God. These people feared God, but they were not obeying God. They went and they just merged their own ideas, thoughts, ways, their own customs, rituals with God. So they didn't change. And then they also went on and they started to intermarry. Now, if we go back and study all the Old Testament and the laws and what God told his people not to intermarry with the Gentiles. Why? Well, because they brought in their own gods and they would influence God's people. they thought, just like these people did, they could just merge it all together and it would be fine, but it wasn't. So the Samaritans, once again, as I said, they were Israelites and they intermarried with the Gentiles. You can look up those scriptures for yourself, and they're in, I'm going to give you those scriptures. We're not going to go to them, but you can write them down. Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, and Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 28. I'll give those to you again, because it is very interesting to see how this all plays out and why this division between the Samaritan and the Jews came in to being when originally they were all related. They were all related. So those scriptures on when they intermarried with these Gentiles, the Samaritans, is in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, and Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 through 28. Okay, so going on here, this is basically just a lot of history that we're going to go over. I'm not going to have time to go really in depth on this history, so I'm going to try to paraphrase a lot of it without reading all the scriptures that pertain to it. So, because we read quite a bit of scriptures now for you to paint this picture and see what is happening here and how it happened with the Samaritans. So now we have Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, that was over all of this conquering of the land, that he now permits the Jews that they took out of this land to return from their captivity. He allows us. And the Samaritans, the ones that were left in Samaria and the area, were ready to welcome them back. They were happy. Oh, here comes our brethren, our countrymen are coming back, and we're going to have more of our Israelites in our country like it was before. But the exiles, or the people that were in captivity, they despised the Samaritans. Now, not that it was right, but the exiles thought of the Samaritans as being unpure because they married the Gentiles. So they and their felt like, well, this just broke that bloodline, you know, back all the way to Abraham and how important that was to them. So they actually condemned the Jews, even though their bloodline was just pretty much the same as the Samaritans that were left there, because they too, while they were in captivity, also many of them intermarried and joined themselves to the nation that they were a part of, which happened a lot, but what God taught against. So the returned Jews regarded the Samaritans who had intermarried with foreigners, as the Bible calls them, or Gentiles, as corrupt. They actually considered them corrupt and against God. Now, if you know anything about Jewish history and some of the things we've studied about the people and their passions and when they get angry and how they can gnash on another human being, I mean, they're pretty passionate people with their emotions. But nevertheless, the Samaritans thought of themselves as worshipers of the same God. And they recognized the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They recognized those books of the Bible. And they followed the same laws from what they call the Torah, that's what that is, governing Sabbath observance, diet, their purity, their circumcision, but they end up worshiping in different temples. Now, there's a reason for that, and you have to go to the history and the scriptures to see that. The reason for that was after the return of the Jews from captivity, the Samaritans attempted to assist them in the rebuilding of the Jerusalem temple, but they were not allowed to do that. the Jewish people would not allow the Samaritans to assist them in rebuilding. So now we have a problem, okay. So the Samaritans, being of that same bloodline that the Jews were, the Israelite people, they then begin to oppose the building of the temple. And for a time, a short time, they were able to actually delay the building of the temple because of this division, because of this hatred of one another. When I think about that, it sounds familiar to me, how we have one party in our United States that opposes another party. And many times, because of the opposition and against one another, things don't get accomplished or they get delayed. And we've seen that. We've seen that in our own government. So it makes perfect sense, and I understand it when I read it here in the scriptures. It's been like that from the beginning of time. People, their own nature, fighting within each other and having divisions because they feel so different and passionate about their beliefs. They're right, you're wrong, however you want to look at it. So they the Samaritans, built their own temple. So they go and build their own temple. So it's just, I when I think about this, and I just think about how strong natural emotions can be, that they can rule and overpower every other thought within you. And you can make decisions based off of that emotion of anger or distrust or just hatred, plain hatred. So they built their own temple. And then not only did they build their own temple, they stated that their mountain where they built the temple was the dwelling place of the Lord, not the temple in Jerusalem. Now you can imagine how that sits with the Jewish people. That's not going to sit well at all with the Israelites. Now, once again, you can read about this, the rebuilding of the temple and how the Jewish people rejected the Samaritans' help in Ezra chapter 4. You can go and read that for yourself so you can get a real clear picture of why there is this division between the Jews and the Samaritans. So they build their own temple, and with that declaration that their temple was where the Lord dwelt, not in the temple in Jerusalem, now any hope of reconciliation between the two groups is lost. You know, they're taking, our temple is better than your temple. God dwells here, not in your temple. I mean, I can only imagine the words that were said to each other. So both the Jewish now and the Samaritan priests taught their people, it was sinful to have any contact with the other group. And we read about a lot of that in the New Testament, and we're going to head into that in a little bit. The Jews were to avoid the impure land of the Samaritans, as they called it, and Samaritans were not to speak to the Jews. They were taught this. And it's very sad because they were actually related to one another. So in spite of this division and hatred that's been going on for centuries, Jesus would have been taught this as a child. He would have been taught how to treat the Samaritans. But instead, we see that Jesus specified Samaria as the first place outside of the Jewish territory that the disciples were to go to with the gospel. The very first place outside of Jewish territory. So let's turn to Acts, the first chapter, and look at that scripture. Acts, the first chapter, and verse 8. Just to get that into our minds. because I found it very interesting that Jesus chose Samaria, and we'll see other things that Jesus directed toward Samaria. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea," all the Jewish territories, "and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So Jesus chose Samaria out for a reason, a purpose. And while traveling through Samaria, we know that Jesus healed 10 lepers. He did that while he was traveling through Samaria. I'm going to give you the scriptures for that, but we don't have time to go into them. It's in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. At Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And then another time we see that Jesus spoke with the Samaritan woman at the well. And what were her words? Her words were, you know, "Well, Lord, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." She was shocked that this Jewish man was speaking to her, asking her for assistance. She was shocked. But Jesus went there for a purpose. He chose that Samaritan woman for a purpose. And that story is in John chapter 4, and it's verse 4 through 41. So sometime next week, look that up for yourself and see this beautiful picture of Jesus and this Samaritan woman at the well. And that's, once again, that's John chapter 4, verses 4 through 41. Another time that we see Jesus, he actually made a Samaritan the hero of one of his very well-known parables, the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. And I do want to turn to that in Luke chapter 10, and it's verses 29 through 37, because the Samaritan here is the one who is able to rise above the hate, the prejudices of centuries. And the Samaritan is the one who's able to show mercy and compassion for the injured Jewish person after his own countrymen pass him by. So we see here how Jesus used the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans to teach us who our neighbor is, to get rid of those centuries of division and hate. So let's read that story in that parable in Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? And we should all know the answer to that question. Who is my neighbor? "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." What a sad picture. This is a priest. This is someone who should be leading and setting an example. But he passes by on the other side. "And likewise a Levite," once again his countryman, "when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side." A very sad picture. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Compassion. "And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That is a beautiful picture. He bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, set him on his own beast, had to pick him up bodily and help him onto his animal, brought him to the inn, just didn't leave him, and then he still continued to take care of him. And on the morrow, the very next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. What a wonderful example of a neighbor. Which now of these three, Jesus says, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. A beautiful parable, the Samaritan able to rise above prejudice, hate, division, and show mercy and compassion. Mercy and compassion. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is a Democrat. Our neighbor is a Republican. Our neighbor is anyone that we come in contact with. Just as this parable showed, Jesus wants us to use compassion and mercy with everyone. Everyone. It doesn't matter that there is a behind-the-scenes story. It doesn't matter. Show mercy, show kindness to everyone. And if we all did that, we wouldn't be having the news and what we see in our United States today. Mercy and compassion. Everyone, everyone needs to have it. Everyone needs to share it. Just as the Samaritan did, so can we. And Jesus used it as that example. So that is the history of the division of the Jews and the Samaritans in a very brief summary. But it's something that Jesus chose in the New Testament to use the Samaritans to show us how we're to treat our neighbors. So that's what I'm going to leave you with tonight and ask you all to continue to pray. Pray for our country. Our country needs prayer. Our country needs prayer every single day. Pray for one another. And I look forward to seeing you on Father's Day this coming Sunday. And our next service online is Sunday morning at 10:30. So join us then, okay? Thank you all, and God bless you all.